540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with high-stakes negotiations overseas. CBS News has learned of a possible deal in the works between Israel and Hamas that could lead to the release of some of the hostages being held in Gaza. Correspondent Cammie McCormick.
Israel's war cabinet is meeting to consider a proposal that would see Hamas release some of its captives, women and children, and an unspecified number of Palestinian women and children would be released by Israel. Among the hostages Hamas holds, there are 10 unaccounted for Americans. Israel wants a full accounting for the number of hostages Hamas holds, and the U.S. has been flying unarmed drones over Gaza to help locate them.
Officials tell CBS News Israel would agree to a 3 to 5 day pause in fighting, and during that time, aid would be allowed into Gaza as the transfer process takes place. In Washington, Capitol Police say six officers came away with minor injuries when protesters demanding a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war tried to block entrances to Democratic National Committee headquarters. Eva Borgwart with the American Jewish group, If Not Now.
We cannot respond with violence and brutality, and because if we do, it will only beget more violence.
President Biden met with China's Xi Jinping in California for their first in-person meeting in more than a year. They announced agreements on military relations and an ingredient used in illegal production of the deadly opioid fentanyl.
I welcome the positive steps we've taken today, and it's important for the world to see.
Congress has ended the threat of a government shutdown until after the holidays. The Senate's voted 87 to 11 in favor of a package to temporarily fund some federal agencies into mid-January, others into February. Democrat Patty Murray chairs the Senate Appropriations Committee.
I do not care for this idea of two funding deadlines and double the shutdown risk.
The mother of a six-year-old boy who shot his teacher in Virginia has been sentenced to 21 months in prison for using marijuana while she owned a firearm. WTKR's John Hood.
Prosecutors showed text messages that depicted her scope of marijuana use and how just 10 days before the incident at the elementary school, she also fired that same gun at her son's father.
The child's teacher, Abby Zwerner, told the judge she had 5 surgeries on her hand and suffers from PTSD. New evidence a plant-based diet can keep you healthier. An analysis in the journal BMC Medicine finds eating more beans, nuts, and whole grains and less meat is linked to 23 to 36% lower risk of heart disease. S&P futures down 2. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Small businesses are the heartbeat of our community. They bring unique products, personal service, and a sense of belonging. Small Business Saturday.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a run on new opportunities for high-speed internet in rural Wisconsin. The state has $42 million worth of grants to give out, but the number of applications it got asked for more than 221 million. More than 251,000 locations in Wisconsin still lack service, and about as many have internet that's below current standards. The Public Service Commission will now start poring over the applications. People who help their older and disabled loved ones at home for no money are asking for help from the state of Wisconsin. Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin.
Each year, Wisconsin's unpaid family caregivers provide about 538 million hours of care to their parents, spouses, and partners, and they do it for no pay.
A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work with caregivers to make sure they're getting what they need. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Brewers introducing their new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers holding press conferences today after naming Pat Murphy the 20th manager in franchise history. Murphy, who turns 65 later this month, described by past and present players as a coach who likes to keep it light, cracks jokes, but knows everything that's going on in the clubhouse. Murphy has been with the team since he was hired back in November of 2015 as an assistant and eventual bench coach. Ricky Weeks also being hired as associate manager. The rest of the coaching staff offered to stay. NBA, the Bucks, after losing earlier this season by 19 to the Raptors, came back to beat them 128 to 112 in Toronto. Giannis on the bench recovering from a sore calf muscle, so Damian Lillard stepped up with 37 points and the victory.
I didn't even feel like I was hot tonight. I just felt in a good rhythm in the game, just getting in the paint, you know, causing guys to pull over, finding the open man, attacking in transition. Guys weren't.
That's Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 65. Southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. 40 tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 44. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK and 101.1 FM. WAUK. And
all across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
On this Thursday, November 16th, here along with the Dr. Kristen Meyerly and with trained barber Greg Bach.
Although, this is not meant to be an insult, but Greg, you wouldn't know to look at him because he's got a lot of hair.
Wow, get out of this one,
Greg,
Kristen.
Greg is a hairy man. Look at that. Woo! Fabioing right now.
It's a luxurious mane that he's got there.
And the beard. I mean, Greg's got a lot of hair.
I just look like Fabio's older, less successful brother.
We covered a lot of ground during the news break there. Which you can always catch the live video feed on Facebook. Kristen and her many years of perms, and how I've had the same TV anchor, game show host hair since 1979 when I got rid of the bowl cut. Except for that one very short period at TV 13. When
Hail
we went back
Caesar.
To what they called the Clooney. The Clooney or the Caesar.
If anyone has any pictures of Pat with a Clooney, please.
Dr. Kreitlow, it's imperative you come through for us right now.
Stat.
Honestly, there are not. There's one short film clip because it was right around Christmas time. They changed in early December. And we filmed like these Christmas greetings or like these little vignettes, and they're supposed to be little funny things. And for ours, what we decided to do was you see me walking down a hall at the station, and I come underneath the mistletoe just as a female coworker comes under the mistletoe. And all you see is sure coming at me. I look up at the mistletoe. She looks at me and deadpans, not with that hair, and then walks away. So it's like, we let the viewers in on the joke that I get this is a terrible hairstyle. And it went away during the Christmas break. And I don't know if that consultant was ever heard from again. Okay, so we've told some nice stories before we even tell you what's coming up on this Thursday, November 16th. Jimmy Costco will join us in a few minutes to talk about the high school football championships that get started today. And then Kristen will have hometown health at the bottom of the hour. Childhood immunizations. You have a physician talking to us about their importance.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Raj Naik from the western side of Wisconsin is going to be on talking about what it means, why it's important to have your child immunized, and what's going on in Wisconsin. We're seeing that kids are being less immunized, especially since the pandemic, and actually childhood immunizations are down a full percent over the last year. So we've got to get it together. We've got to talk about why this is important and make sure we're having these conversations so that we're making informed decisions for ourselves, our kids, and our communities.
Literally, get it together, people. Come on. Mm-hmm. Thursday, November 16th means it's Great American Smokeout Day. So if any of you are trying to quit today, we wish you all the best and hope it extends into tomorrow. This is National Rural Health Day. Kristen, we could have done 2 hours just on that, subject near and dear to our hearts.
Every day is Rural Health Day for us, Pat.
It really is. It's National Fast Food Day. It's National Clarinet Day. It's National Button Day. It's World Pancreatic Cancer Day, and it's World Philosophy Day. So today would be a good day to quote your favorite philosopher. For me, it'd be Jimmy Buffett, if we weren't all crazy, we would go insane.
Wait, what? Pat, what's today? It's World what?
Philosophy Day.
Is it, though?
I see what you did there. Luke Mathers is on the way as well, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789. We spoke very briefly. Oh, Kristen has her hand raised for our radio audience. Yes, Kristen.
It's my number two son's birthday.
Aww. May we ask your son?
He's 23. Happy birthday, Julian.
Julian is 23.
May you get up before noon.
Wait, I thought you wanted him to have a happy birthday. All right, Julian. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy.
We talked a little bit in the last hour, just briefly, about the government shutdown being avoided. The House came up with a plan, an unusual plan. It kind of kicks the can down the road. The Senate went ahead and okayed it. President Biden is going to sign it. There shouldn't be any problems, you know, for the holidays. But here was this way to get around having a government shutdown over the holidays. Kristen, I do not believe every Wisconsin Republican supported that. Some gave the indication they would welcome a government shutdown over Thanksgiving.
Yes, there were two, Terrible Tom Tiffany and, shockingly, Mike Gallagher, who is supposed to be so moderate, voted against this, voted to shut the government down.
This seems a little odd, and the Journal Sentinel went and looked for people's reactions or members of Congress, and at the time, and I haven't seen an update, but his office was not available for comment.
Weird.
Why?
Yeah. Shocking. You know, that seems to happen a lot. You know, he doesn't really seem to put a lot of information out there, and just kind of waits for the news cycle to drift. But I think this is a big deal. This is somebody who really wants to present himself as a moderate Republican. And I mean, voting with Tom Tiffany when Fitz and Glenn Grothman and Brian Seil, they're all, even DeVito, all of them voted to keep the government open. But Mike Gallagher voted against that.
It made for a very unusual week, and we really got to see some people's truer stripes. Now, Tom Tiffany's stripes were always apparent, because just here's a tweet from him yesterday saying the Biden administration is freeing up $10 billion for Iran after they funded and trained Hamas to slaughter Israelis and Americans. Why is Joe Biden funding terrorism? Again, there's nothing but bad faith out of this guy. He's so far gone over the edge. Mm-hmm. But the other example of people who are appearing moderate and really aren't, Nikki Haley was on with Sean Hannity night before last, I think, and unless it was last night. And her quote was, "If I become president, we will get out of the Human Rights Council. We would certainly not get back into the Paris Climate Agreement. We would get out of the World Health Organization. We would defund the UN as much as possible." Can we finally stop calling Nikki Haley a moderate? She just looks more sane next to all the other weirdos on stage, but her ideas are as weird as the rest of them.
She is trying to walk this fine line where she keeps these mega people happy, but also appeals to that middle. But everything that she says betrays what she actually believes in. She is, like you said, just as far to the right, just as extreme as the rest of the party.
And then finally, we have to note in political news that there was a case of global election interference. But as a result, John Oliver did win the New Zealand bird election. The Puteki Teki is the bird of the century. I think that billboard in Manitowoc probably put it over the top. Well, that and about 200,000 other votes for a contest that normally doesn't even get 40, 50,000 votes. So, you know, Wisconsin played its role. But let me.
We went to the Puteki Teki billboard.
Did you?
We couldn't not.
I know the business it was on the side of a small business, and they really made the most of, you know, getting that attention. So good on them. There's one nice thing to say about this. Well, two. One I said previously is that this group in New Zealand got a lot of good attention. I'm sure they're going to get a lot of financial support for the good things they're doing. But in the news coverage, I did see this. The reason that groups like this should be saluted. Only 40 years ago, only about 200 Puteki Teki were left in the wild because of non-native predators and overzealous boating that wiped out their floating nests. Through grassroots efforts, their numbers have climbed from 200 to about 1,000. So good things happening there. And, you know, if you have to interfere with an election through a comedy show to continue funding these good things, I guess I'm willing to go along with that.
I love that. I think that that's how you get things done. You can't be so serious all the time. You've got to add some levity and make it fun, make it worthwhile.
Here's the thing. The levity and the fun have done this to us. I would normally give you the 7 a.m. temperatures right now. I couldn't go get the 7 a.m. temperatures because Greg and Kristen had me far too busy talking about Greg's skills as a trained barber. And Kristen.
Oh, this is my fault.
I didn't say it was your fault. I said we were having fun.
Peace. But, you know, as far as temperatures go, it's going to be a nice day. Everybody enjoy it. Tomorrow's going to be colder. Next.
No, not next. That's why we have a trained and professional meteorologist here. And because of that, we're going to find out that, yes, as Jennifer Wojcicki tells us, it is going to be warm today. It's going to be windy. But, yeah, there's big changes are coming. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and today has been, like you said, it's going to be a warm and windy day, but it's definitely going to change by tomorrow. It looks like cloudy skies are becoming cloudy from Madison up towards Wausau and everyone westward today, and then sunny skies from Oshkosh, Waukesha over towards the lakefront. Our warmest day, this forecast comes in today as that warm front fully pushes through. Highs today in the mid to upper 60s across the board. It does look like a chance for some rain coming in tonight for extreme southern Wisconsin and actually around Oshkosh as well. Friday, a cold front pushes through, so we'll see a pretty significant drop in temperatures. Sunny or becoming sunny for all. It looks like mid to upper 40s for southern Wisconsin, then upper 30s to low 40s from Amory through Wisconsin Rapids and over towards Oshkosh. Saturday, it looks like a brief warm front comes into the area, so kind of this roller coaster ride of temperatures for the next several days. Warmer overall here on Saturday. It looks like sunshine expected with highs in the upper 40s to low 50s for most. Our coolest spot around Wausau lingering in the upper into the mid 40s, excuse me, and our warmest spot around Richland Center and for southwestern Wisconsin getting into the mid 50s. Then actually a high pressure settles in for Sunday, so it looks like similar day to Saturday. So Sunday, it looks like the weekend looks pretty decent and both days going to be pretty similar.
It's going to be quite a difference between the state high school championship football games that are played today versus the ones that are going to be played tomorrow. Jennifer, I want you to know what a team this is that we have here on your behalf. You work and provide the forecast, of course, for several different radio stations. Not that long ago, Kristen Lyerly here recorded her car radio.
I hear you in Hibbing.
So she was so concerned about whether we're saying your name correctly, that she now has sent me an audio file. I don't know if it was to shame me or for affirmation. So if you would please, Jennifer, would you please give us a sign off?
Yep. With your name. Thanks for the, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
What do you think, Kristen?
Yay! Perfect. She says it exactly right.
She says it perfect.
Good job, person with your name.
I think it was supposed to be about me. Jennifer, you're such a good sport. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay. I
did do that. That is true.
You did do that. You did.
The first time I heard her voice, I was so excited.
I'm like, I don't think I'm that far off.
No, you weren't that far off.
And at no point has she ever sent an email going, hey. No, she's got a very authentic way of saying it because it's her own name.
It's Wojcicki. We got to remember that for Luke because Luke tried to pronounce it and he added way too many syllables.
Jimmy Koska, there's a name that's easy to say, is going to be coming up next. We're going to talk about the high school football championships. Kristen, we'll see you at the bottom of the hour for Hometown Health.
Sounds great.
And then again later for public service announcement on As Goes Wisconsin here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with Jimmy next.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Hack is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or right on the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, U-K, U-K.
A few high school crowds singing that later tonight, only on one side or the other of a football field, as the boys football tournament continues for the WIAA. And Jimmy Koska's been nice enough to join us these past few weeks to take us through it all. Now the big thrilling conclusion tonight, Jimmy. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, you hear that song quite a bit this time of year.
And for good reason. I mean, it is as anthematic as it gets for how you feel, you know, at the end of a long-fought season. And so this is going to wrap up at Camp Randall today and tomorrow. So for folks who are not familiar with how this all works, how do they structure what happens at the stadium over these 2 days?
So there are seven divisions in high school football for 11 player. So today they'll run through the smaller schools, Division 7 through Division 4. The games will kick off at 10, 1, 4, and 7. And then tomorrow will be Divisions 3 through 1. Those are the three largest division schools, and those are at 10, 1, and 4 o'clock. So you only get that one game that's got that 7 o'clock kickoff that's fully under the lights, which is actually a pretty neat deal. But yeah, they play seven games, four today, three tomorrow. For people that go, there's not a lot of time like between games. So it's a really nice setup for people who go to take in like the full day, the full experience, that you don't have to wait a lot of time between games. There's usually about 35 minutes or so just in between, and then boom, you're right back onto the next one. So it's a pretty cool experience for people that do go and try to take it all in.
Do you know, I don't know that you can necessarily tell whether, you know, how much of the crowd is kind of locals versus, you know, folks who are bussed in for their various schools. Is it a fairly popular activity for folks around Madison to peek in?
I think that the bigger neutral crowd is the football coach. The football coaches from around the state that come in as part of the coaches association. Mm-hmm. They usually tend to be in a big chunk of it. I don't know that there's necessarily a big walk up, and it's a little hard to tell because you're usually focused when you're doing a game or you're covering it on like that pocket of people that have the signs and the school colors and the people leading the chants. And those people, usually you'll see it on the, you know, when you watch it on TV, or if you're there in person, you'll see it. They kind of form like a pocket kind of around the 50-yard line. Right. And then you can just see kind of the school representation, and then the more neutral people will kind of be to the sides or a little further up. But I imagine there's some walk up. There's a good number of people who go to this, and I will say that for people who do go or watch it on TV, it's not going to be filled like it is for a Badgers game when you've got 80,000 people there. Typically, state football is going to be in the 10,000s, you know, somewhere in there, not quite to capacity, but still a lot of people show up for this.
Well, I'm going to sound really harsh here, but, you know, you get a high school crowd together, you kind of squeeze them all together so that they all fit in the TV camera shot, much like they do for the Badgers, for as empty as the student section is for the first three quarters of the game. But I digress. That's a subject for another day. Let's walk through these. Let's work our way from 7 up to 1, because starting today at 10 a.m. is Division 7, and that's Edgar versus Blackhawk Warren. Tell us, Edgar is one of those that both teams are 12-1, and Edgar's one up here off Highway 29. So I'm familiar that region is kind of a football powerhouse.
Yeah, Edgar actually this year, and among those 12 wins, they defeated a team that's playing for the Division 6 title in Stratford this year. So they actually beat them back in week 2. They haven't lost since week 1, and Edgar's at stake for the 14th time. That's more than anybody in the state in history. One cool thing about Edgar that I personally enjoy is that they have won football championships in divisions 4, 5, 6, and 7, which hasn't been done either. So I find that fascinating.
Oh, sure. Rightly so. And yeah, Stratford moving to Division 6 is, again, in that same general area. They are taking on Darlington. So again, I'm not as familiar with Darlington as Stratford.
Yeah, Darlington is actually a step behind Edgar in terms of state championship appearances at 13. So they are powerhouse from here in southwestern Wisconsin. Darlington is about an hour from me down here. And then, of course, Stratford, they are a program. They are looking for their ninth state championship. So another one of those powerhouse programs, like you said, from your area. I will say the Division VI and Division VII games, and D7 is a rematch of two other state titles. Those two teams, Blackhawk Warren and Edgar, have actually met twice in the state championship in recent history. The Division VII and Division VI games are really, you're getting the blue bloods, right? You're getting the real best programs in small school football at Wisconsin, and I think people will really enjoy that here early today.
Yeah, and that Division VI game is at 1 o'clock. And then Division V is at 4 o'clock today. That's Wrightstown versus Aquinas. I assume lacrosse Aquinas?
Yes, lacrosse Aquinas. They're a team, too, that they've been the two-time defending champion. And, in fact, in their playoff run, took care of a defending champion in a different division, Columbus, which had the state's all-time leading rusher, Colton Brunel, in their fold. So Aquinas is a heavy favorite in the Division Five. It's one of the schools that you know when you talk about private schools being part of the WIAA, along with schools like Catholic Memorial and Regis, where you might rankle some, you might ruffle some feathers a bit. But there's no doubt that Aquinas themselves have done such a great job throughout the season. Wrightstown is looking for their fourth state championship, so they're not it's not a program that hasn't been there before. It's a program that's got a lot of history themselves. So the D5 game should be pretty exciting to check out.
So now here's the part that might be somewhat controversial. So next is the Division 4 game. And like you said, that's the only night game, the only primetime game at 7 o'clock, because they're at 10-1, 4-7 today and 10-1, 4 tomorrow. I would have thought that maybe for this 7 p.m. game, they'd skip out of order and they'd put the Division 1 game there. I can't be the first person that's wondered if they have ever talked about doing that.
Yeah, I think if they were to do anything, they would just shift the games on day two, right? They would shift them to later. But the issue is every other year that the Wisconsin Badgers play on Saturday, including this year. So a lot of the setup when you go there as a media person, it's all kind of in place for the Badgers broadcast. So like, sure, you know, the sound effects and the mics in the bowl and everything like that, that's all set up for the Badgers game.
Okay. So four is Luxembourg Casco versus Lodi. Any special notes about that?
Yep. I did the Lodi game back in 2017 when they won their first ever state championship. Luxembourg Casco has had just a dominating season and they beat Catholic Memorial level four. So that should be a really fun matchup to watch in the nightcap on day one tonight.
All right. Day two starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Division three, Rice Lake versus Grafton.
Yep, Grafton is making it to state for the fifth time. Rice Lake has been there eight times, and a lot of them in recent memory. Grafton coming out of southeastern Wisconsin, Rice Lake in northwestern Wisconsin. So you get two ends of the state in this one. Rice Lake travels well for these, so that morning game tomorrow should have a lot of excitement to it.
1 o'clock tomorrow is Division II, Wanakee versus Badger.
Badger is a fun team to make it to state. This is a very run-heavy program, and they've been knocking on the door for years, and they finally get there. Wanakee, well, they're a program that's been there a lot under their legendary head coach, Pat Rice. I've done a lot of Wanakee football in my time, and this is one of those classic matchups. Wanakee has gone more to a spread in the last five or so years, so it's going to be a little bit of a contrast in styles, but Wanakee has played in some real thrillers at state over the years, and again, Division II with this is kind of, you know, you kind of have an upstart versus an established power in this one, and I think that should be fun for people to follow.
And finally, Division One, the championship game at 4 o'clock tomorrow, Marquette versus Franklin.
Franklin has been just a great program over the last few years. Marquette, from the same part of the state down there, has also been a very dominant program in their history. Franklin has one of the top running backs in the state. They've also got a couple of key defenders. Marquette has always got just loaded studs on both sides of the ball. So the Division One game this year, I think it'll live up to the billing. It should be a lot of fun to wrap up state football with Franklin and Marquette.
Well, this was fun to hear all about it as the tournament went along. Jimmy, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me for the season. Been a lot of fun to talk about. For the first time this year, all the state football games will be video streamed for free.
Excellent. All right. So look for that as well. All right, Jimmy, have a great day.
Thank you.
Talk again soon. And coming up after the break, Hometown Health, Dr. Kristen Lyerly returns in just a bit. You're up north. Consider it a challenge before the whole human race, and I ain't gonna lose.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. CBS News is learning about a possible deal between Israel and Hamas that could lead to the freedom of some of the hostages being held in Gaza. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe is at the White House.
We just want to stress from the beginning that any deal here is fluid and won't be final until the hostages are actually released. But in this latest proposal, Israel would agree to a 3 to 5 day ceasefire. And during that time, aid would be allowed into Gaza and a group of the youngest hostages and women would be released.
In addition, one official tells us an unspecified number of Palestinian women and children held in Israeli prisons could be swapped. Former U.S. ambassador to Israel, Daniel Kurtzer.
There's a groundswell of support in Israel for trading prisoners for hostages, and the government will have to take that into account.
Roughly 240 hostages were taken during Hamas attack on October 7th. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is lifting lockdowns at state prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. Inmates have been confined to their cells for months because of safety worries and not enough guards. Inmates will soon get access to more prison programs, and some inmates in Waupun will be moved out. The governor says he's also keen on hiring more guards. Starting pay for those jobs went up to $33 an hour in the new state budget. More young people are taking part in Wisconsin's registered apprenticeship program than ever before. The paid training program combines on-the-job learning and education from technical colleges and private training centers. More than 16,000 apprentices are taking part. That's the highest number in the program's 112 years. Workforce development officials say the program is a way to bring job seekers and employers together. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 65. Southwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. 40 tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, high of 44. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Roll into this Friday night and strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party? There's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, enjoy the music of American Graffiti, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Half Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Half Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Half is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or right on the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
That's okay, let's see how you do it. Pull up your deuce, let's get down to it. Everyone,
shot shots will be our subject in just a second on Hometown Health tomorrow. We'll have a couple of our usual Friday regulars. Dan Schumacher will be here, Mark Jacob. But instead of Kia Vakil, who is on vacation, we will meet with our old friend Carolyn Fidler, who has one of the new newsletters that are put out by Courier Newsroom, parent company of Up North News. Carolyn has State House Action. Mark Jacob and Kia also have newsletters as well. So to learn more about that, go to couriernewsroom.com and subscribe to those newsletters there. All right, Kristen's back with us now. And again, we're talking about shots, immunization types, that is, and some troubling trends. I don't know, were they happening, Kristen, before the pandemic, or did the pandemic really become the starting point of people doing more to avoid childhood immunizations?
They were happening before the pandemic, but the pandemic has definitely accelerated the number of people who are really questioning and avoiding vaccines. And, you know, it's, to be very clear, it's important that you make thoughtful decisions about your healthcare. But in this environment, what we're seeing is people are being influenced by maybe folks who don't have their best interests in mind, who have their own interests in mind. And it's affecting our own personal health. It's affecting our family's health. And it's affecting our community health, which is why we invited Dr. Raj Naik from Gundersen Health System to come and talk with us this morning. Dr. Naik is a proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He did his residency training at Wake Forest, and he currently functions as a pediatrician and the chief medical information officer with Gundersen, and has so many accolades. It just has done so much for individual health and public health here in Wisconsin, especially the western side of the state. It would take all day to read all of them. But most importantly for our show today, he's the co-chair of the Advisory Council for Immunize Wisconsin, which is a 3-year CDC-funded grant to improve immunization rates throughout Wisconsin. Dr. Naik, welcome to Hometown Health.
Welcome. Yes, good morning, and thanks for inviting me.
So nice to have you here.
So pediatricians administer lots and lots of vaccines. I'm a mom. I remember those days. From a patient and a family perspective, tell us a little bit about how vaccines fit into ordinary pediatric healthcare.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to understand how important vaccines are, and it's not an understatement to say that it's the most important thing you can do for your child to keep them healthy over the long run. We don't remember it because a lot of us weren't born yet, but in the pre-vaccine era, many of these infectious diseases not only caused serious illness, hospitalizations, but also deaths in young children. And most scientists will tell you that the two most important things for keeping people healthy are public sanitation and immunizations. It's that important in terms of what it's done to prolong our lives and keep us healthy.
Two of the greatest public health achievements in the last 100 years. I think the CDC, maybe 10 years ago, published a big paper about what the important things are that we now take for granted because it's just become part of our daily lives. But I remember my grandfather talking about his siblings that he lost to diphtheria when they were kids. That doesn't happen nowadays because of vaccines.
Yeah, go back a couple generations and you'll hear the stories of polio, measles, many of these other now preventable infectious diseases that were devastating. But it is interesting that the historical memory can be kind of short, and vaccines, because they've been so successful, that can create some complacency. And we talk about this in terms of like the confidence in something that we do and the complacency that develops if it's so successful that people don't remember about how impactful these infectious diseases were.
Mm-hmm. I want to second that by noting, and again, it seems odd to even bring this up, but when people talk about like how expensive playground equipment is, and we kind of look back fondly at the old monkey bars, and I almost wish the ER docs of those days could come back and say, yeah, there's a reason we improved these products. There's a reason we put better labels on poisons. I remember the start of the whole Mr. Yuck campaign is that, you know, terrible things happened. And immunizations were a part of it. So it is especially puzzling today, but it does remind us that you can't take anything for granted, even something as basic as vaccines, how they work, and fostering public trust in them. But unfortunately, you know, Kristen tells me that we have a vaccine exemption rate that is one of the highest in the country. Can you tell us more about exemption rates, why, what they are, and what it is about Wisconsin that makes our number higher than other places?
Yeah, absolutely. So each state has their own laws about what qualifies as an exemption. And I think we're down to only 14 states in the country that allow personal waivers or and there are also religious waivers. The most strict waiver is a true medical waiver. And there are a few instances where a child may not receive a vaccine for medical reasons. But the fact of the matter is that Wisconsin's one of the more lenient states for allowing waivers for vaccines for school entry. And, you know, we have advocated a number of times to tighten those laws up, but Wisconsin's one of the remaining states that has these very lenient waiver laws. And actually what we know is most vaccine preventable outbreaks emerge in states with these more lenient laws. So unfortunately, we're one of the states that allows just a parent or anybody else to sign a waiver that says, I don't want to get this vaccine, and that satisfies the school entry requirements.
And here in Wisconsin, our non-medical exemption rate, that personal rate, is double the national rate, which is probably why we're seeing so many exemptions here in the state now. And I can share that in my practice as an OBGYN doctor, I find that when I have thoughtful, data-driven conversations with my patients who are wondering whether to get vaccinated, I think it's great as a patient to question, like, why are we doing this, and to really understand what the risks and benefits are. And my patients do have a lot of questions. And sometimes I find that these questions are rooted in information gleaned from social media, conversations with friends, and other non-medical sources. You take care of kids, a very different population than my patients. What are you hearing in your practice when you're having these discussions?
Yeah, I think that's a really, several really important points that you made. One is how information is flowing and how people are getting information. It has changed over the last several years where more people are seeking information through other means other than their healthcare provider. And so unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation and specific disinformation where people are intending to deceive that is available. And unfortunately, that misinformation and disinformation gets shared about 2 to 3 to 1. So it's important that as a healthcare provider, that you're open to these conversations and that you know how to talk about it with your patients, not to alienate them, but to really genuinely answer their questions. And, you know, I think most people that earn the trust of their patients don't do it in such a way that these questions are taken in a defensive way or any other way. You know, what we really want to do is make sure that we understand what our patients want to know and give them information in a way that they can digest and then make an informed choice. The least responsible thing that we can do is just tell people, well, you should do it just because. We want them to understand right. the information.
You took my next question right there. I was going to ask you, it's like, how have you had to change, you in general, all physicians, had to change your tactics, your communication with people because you don't want to just say, well, because I said so, you know, because I'm the expert. As much as we'd like that to have enough weight, sometimes it can't compete with Facebook. So do you feel like you and Kristen yourself and others have had to kind of change the tenor of these conversations in this age of social media information, Raj?
Well, what's really interesting is that a lot of you get a lot of training in medicine about the science, but a lot of healthcare providers do not have specific training on communication techniques. And so it's one of the things that I do for other healthcare providers throughout the state, throughout the country, is try to help them learn how to effectively communicate about these complex issues and to address the questions that patients and parents have. And so it is something that needs to be taught. It is a skill that needs to be developed, and it's a skill that needs to be practiced. And so, yes, it is important to for healthcare providers to learn these communication techniques so that they don't alienate their patients and so that they can earn their trust.
And we're talking about the patient-doctor relationship there in the room, but vaccines really affect not only us personally, but populations of people. And we know that we need about 95% immunity in order to protect against these massive viral outbreaks. Currently, the U.S. is at about 93%, so we're lower than goal, and we seem to be trending downward. Wisconsin is probably lower because we've got a lower rate. So in your opinion, what does that mean for all of us, especially our most vulnerable neighbors who have impaired immune systems or might not be able to get vaccines?
Yeah, that's critically important. And I don't like the term herd immunity. I talk about it as population level immunity, which is what you're really referring to. And there, we depend on both individual choices and what you're talking about, which is the common good, public health. And we don't necessarily understand public health really well in this country, because we're definitely a country that's founded on a lot of individualism and a lot of choices. It's kind of the history of how our country was founded, but it is really important in the world of infectious diseases and vaccines to think about the common good. And, you know, when you're vaccinating, you're not just protecting the individual, you're protecting those around you. So, you know, promotion of the common good protecting all of us is something that we need a little bit of we need these public forums to talk about, and it's critically important. It's not just about you. It is about your family, your friends, your community.
And what's the last thing that you'd like to leave in terms of information that our listeners can take away from today's conversation when it comes to childhood vaccines?
Yeah, you know, I think the most important thing is that, you know, your healthcare provider is, you know, somebody that hopefully you want to develop a trusted relationship with so that they can share this information with you in a way that resonates with you. And the most important thing for us moving forward is to get past the polarization. Nothing is as easy as a black and white situation. What we need to do is have open conversations, be willing and open to view, you know, the science in a way that's not, you know, littered with misinformation and disinformation, so that we can help you understand how to protect yourself, your children, your families, your friends, and your community.
And can we note just one more time that, especially with COVID, because it was relatively new, the science is changing. And when science changes, it doesn't mean science was wrong. Because I'm sure you hear that, like, well, you guys were wrong about this or that. It means we're still learning and that you want the latest information to work for you.
Right. Okay. You know, and that's a great comment and really important. It's not a flip-flop. What it is making sure that we understand how the emerging science is telling us what the next steps are.
There you go. Dr. Raj Naik from Gunderson Health System, we really appreciate you being here for Hometown Health and telling us much more about this important topic.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right. When we come back, Luke Mathers will join the discussion and we'll wrap things up for a Thursday here on Up North News Radio.
We'll be right back.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Earn extra cash for the holidays. Visit Robert Hack Diamonds for their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th. They'll buy your gold for real green, and you could walk away with tickets to see the green and gold score a touchdown in Green Bay. Score top dollar with an offer on the spot for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds, all in a relaxed atmosphere. Get free professional valuations from a local name and trusted company. You'll learn exactly what you have and what it's worth with the international experience at Robert Hack Diamonds. Did you inherit jewelry that may not be to your taste but is sentimental? Why not convert it to something new and exciting? Or trade in your outdated pieces for something new? So many options. Robert Hack is having their gold buying event November 15th through the 18th and is paying cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield, just east of Moreland on Greenfield Avenue, or right on the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Hello, I was freezing to death, then it started to snow, so I got down from the trees and started heading for the truck, and that's when I seen it there.
The 30.
Oh. The 30 point
Dang
buck.
It!
30 point buck.
30 point buck.
Poor Greg, you wanted to jump in. That timing is everything, isn't it, buddy?
Yeah, I'm a terrible comedian.
How many points does the buck logo have?
I never counted. We're not here to talk about the bucks, like that logo on Luke Mather's hat there.
It's not 30, but it's a lot.
We're talking deer hunting season. It's coming up. And that's what we wanted to figure out, where Mr. Bach and Mr. Mathers would be for the big opener.
I will be getting yard work done and having Friendsgiving because I'm not a big hunter.
No, you're short.
No.
But I'm
not a hunter.
It's all about timing.
I already... Interrupting cow. Moo. I always tell people, and I've already made the hot tub joke before about winter sports, but I'm like, you know, if a deer ever walks by the hot tub that Saturday morning, I'll certainly do what I can to wrestle it to the ground. But otherwise, I'm going to have
bare hands.
Exactly. I'm going to have to leave it to others. You know,
I mean, look at it.
In other news,
yeah.
Local radio legend Pat Kreitlow mauled to death in his hot tub by a deer.
Yeah, I don't think it needs to be a 30-point buck to take you out. It probably
no, it really doesn't. Oh, please,
four?
A fawn.
Fawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bambi.
Exactly. With those little cloven hoofs, you can, they hit you just right, man.
You know, they're hunting up in the UP, and that's where my partner Craig is right now. He's hunting. And I said, how are you doing? And he said, nothing yet, but one of my friends got a 6-pointer. And then his text said, I think it's a little too warm. And I texted back, but not too warm for your friend. So I don't know what Craig is doing up in his deer
well,
stand.
There will be...
He is not getting deer.
No more texting from Craigers.
Oh, no, the phone died. And I forgot my charger. Deer camp doesn't have the charger.
Oh no. I can't communicate with this terrible woman anymore.
This forest has terrible Wi-Fi. I'm going home. To answer your question, Pat, I don't... Yes. I'll say this. I'll leave it for tomorrow. I will give. I won't be deer hunting this weekend. Working on a possible big deal in the Bach household. So,
ooh, okay,
good deal.
Color us teased.
That's exactly. That's good radio.
Luke, did you ever? Because I've already talked previously about my dad trying to take me hunting and fishing, and you know we really didn't make a connection there. Do you have any kind of history that way in terms of hunting or?
Well, I very much enjoy shooting. So, like, trap shooting throughout Scouts was a big... that's where I spent most of my summer camp.
Oh, that's right. I forget. Eagle Scouts here on the radio.
I'm really good with a bow. I'm pretty good with a shotgun. Rifle, for the longest time, I didn't understand that I was left-eye dominant. So, I was always just shooting off to the left. And so, I didn't realize until probably about 17 years old when I learned that I was left eye dominant, and then I got really good at shooting for those last couple of years in Scouts. But my dad doesn't hunt. My mom's brothers though did, but she didn't trust them enough to send. She's one of eight, so there's a lot of stuff growing up, and she didn't really want to send any of her children into the woods with her brothers to try to get even with her from anything that, you know, they might still not be over from childhood.
Oh, this story got dark real quick.
I know. And by the way, Left Eye Dominant is his rapper name when he applied to take the place of the Left Eye in TLC, RIP. too dark? Okay.
No, I'm just really
I'm right-handed, so I had no idea that that would be a thing. So I just always would shoulder I would pull the bow with my right arm, and I would shoot with my right on my right side, and I would always be kind of just off. And I was like, "What is going on?"
The kind of things Cleefish talks about on Raised in Wisco? Or
he probably knew which way to shoot right away.
I'm just wondering if we can get you some therapy on the radio about this. You know,
is that what we're doing right now?
Do you think there's anything therapeutic about this?
I will register absolutely no comment whatsoever.
This is mockery, Luke, not therapy. You've been on this show before.
Rather than people can get their therapy in any form.
Really?
It comes in many different forms.
Really quick, you and I, Luke, had a conversation last week about the meteorologist Jennifer, who's on the show every day, and you absolutely butchering her last name, making her somehow more Polish than it actually was. It's pronounced Wuchitski.
I feel like I was close.
You weren't.
Send in the text.
Now, we talked about Kristen texted me an audio clip of her saying it on the radio.
Perfect.
Which I should have done when she's on with Chad Holmes as well. So we've engaged in enough mockery here. Let's get to the shameless self-promotion, which is what this is all supposed to be about, because Luke is, as his title indicates, a civic media guy. And so he's here to talk about civic media things, which, of course, has to start with As Goes Wisconsin at 10 o'clock, where Kristen Lyerly will be on at 11:05. Call or text your medical questions there. All right. That's shameless.
It's Bladder Health Month.
Bladder Health Month.
Bladder Health Month.
We all have a bladder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Allegedly. Yep. Agree to disagree.
You make me trust you so much as a doctor when you say that. You have a bladder. Oh, thank you.
You're like,
Didn't we just talk about this in the last segment? Like people doubting doctors, like, oh no, if she says it, I don't know. Those elites. Yeah.
That up north elitist with that fake news about my bladder. I don't have a bladder.
Yeah. Some
I'm a man.
Don't have a bladder.
Okay. You know what?
But most do.
Oh my God. All right, before this turns toward colostomy bags, we're going to turn back to Luke and what kinds of things we should talk about. Well, yeah, that too. Talk about civic media shows. Luke?
Yeah, we've got so much fun going on right now here at Civic Media. We've got a long holiday weekend coming up next weekend. It is deer hunting, though, before then. So several of the radio stations that are musically formatted will be doing some of the deer camp shows this weekend. So you can tune in to WIRI, WRPQ, download the Civic Media app. You can jump from the talk stations that you're currently listening to here with Up North News to the music formats as well. It's free, easy to download out of the App Store, either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. And so it's going to be a fun opening weekend for deer hunting. Hopefully there's going to be some excellent stories called in. There's going to be musical requests to go along with some of the favorites from deer camp. And then with next weekend, the Thanksgiving holiday weekend coming up, we're going to have some of the best of programming for our shows. Depending on what you're listening to throughout the standard Civic Media broadcast day, some of the hosts are going to be, you know, taking some time with their friends and loved ones and family members, and they're queuing up some best of.
I wasn't sure what my best of was going to be. Now I know. I'm just stringing together an hour's worth of these segments with Mathers, Lyerly, and Bob. I think we've had enough of them now that would fill the hour and do so quite nicely. Thank you, Luke. Have a wonderful day.
And I believe there's 12 points on this
book. Bucks. Very good. Kristen, Greg, thank you so much. You guys have a great day as well. And thanks to all of you for joining us. Chad Holmes is up next in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids, Earl Ingram across the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, wherever you are, all of Wisconsin is America's true up north, and we're glad you could be up here on the lake for a while. Have a great Thursday. See you tomorrow.
The howitzer was in the shop. My stomach was...
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Roll into this Friday night. And strike a chord of fun, food, and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. A Friday night live music party kicks off at 8 p.m. and goes until midnight every Friday night. And the best part of this party? There's no cover charge. While you're having fun, grab dinner and take advantage of $2 off all sandwiches on Friday night. This Friday night, enjoy the music of American Graffiti. 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Call 262-544-2010 or check out foxviewlanes.com. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS.